I'm continuing our series. Some of you have been wondering where I've been. I have been in Umhlanga, going so well. If you haven't visited, go visit. And then I was in Kloof last week. It is disturbing me how many of you moved to Kloof. Because I just go there and go, oh, that's where our church is. Like, people just keep moving up the hill. Please stay. Anyway, for those of you in business, run your own business, kind of trying to make stuff happen. Tomorrow I'm going to run a prayer meeting just from 7 to 8 for you. If you're in trouble or it's flying, I'll be in the coffee shop, grab some coffee, come. I'm going to pray for you for just an hour, share something, and then we move on from there. So come join me. But today we're going to continue this thing and speak on this relationship, love handles, and speak on connection. You know, Mother Teresa, she said this. She said, loneliness and the feeling of being unwanted is the most terrible form of poverty on earth. Loneliness and the feeling of being unwanted is the most terrible poverty on earth. Because we were born for connection. You were born with a little desire inside of you going, I want to connect, I need to connect. Where are you? Cry, wah, come, I want to feel held, I want to feel loved. And we spend the rest of our life trying to seek connection. And you know what it's like when you feel connected. There is nothing better. When he's got your back, she's got your back too. When you're just one, he gets you, she understands you, you feel like you are completely connected. It is like you are power. You're unstoppable when you're connected. You saw South Africa yesterday. They were connected. When a team is connected like that and angry, you can see the effect of that. Where you know what it's like to play in a team that's playing like they're one. We use language like that. They're playing like they're one. Why? Because they are connected. Connection is huge. And every speck of your being is looking to be connected. Connected to friends, connected to family, connected in the workplace. And when you don't have connection, that's called pain. When you have strong connection, you can literally outlast anything. So I need you to, because you're in the front. Don't worry, I'm pulling off my belt, but it's not that kind of church. Don't worry about where this is going. When you are connected, oh, everything fell down.
Need some help.
I hope you didn't hear that. When you're connected, it's like a belt. You can talk about money. You can talk about your sex life. You can talk about moving. You can talk about the fact that I really don't like your mother-in-law. Like, you can have any conversation you like when the connection is strong. When the connection is weak, hold it. You can give me my belt back. When the connection is weak, you can be talking about what we're going to watch on Netflix tonight. And that will happen. When you don't have strong connection, you literally can't survive. You were made for connection. Thank you. You were amazing. You can give them a hand as they go down. The problem is, man, keeping that connection is hard. So I went home the other day. Ames was on a conference call. She was grafting. It was load shedding. And I did the super dad thing. I got my three-year-old to sleep. And then my boy came in, who I love so much. And I said to him, my boy, whatever you do, do not wake up your sister. I have battled for an hour and she is asleep. Do not wake her up. And so my boy goes, okay, dad. You know, he's 12. Like, okay, dad, now I've forgotten. Like, that's just the vibe. He goes, he showers, he comes back out, opens the door. As he opens the door, load shedding kicks out. We get power back. All the lights go on, flood straight into her room. She wakes up. My wife said to me, she said, babe, you growled at your boy. She said, I looked at your face and I thought to myself, he's going to kill him. And my boy says, Dad, you looked at me like you hated me. And I said, my boy, I love you so much, but sometimes you come close to dying. isn't it amazing? I mean, I'll die for that kid. But in that moment, he hooked every single fiber of my being and my eyes threw punches. You know how hard it is to keep connection? I mean, because people do some dumb things. You know how difficult it is? You know, in premarital, we do this thing. We say, what animal are you when you get hooked? So you get tortoises. If you're a tortoise, you can put up your hand in a moment. Tortoises are the people. When they get triggered by somebody else, they go into their shell. They disappear into the garage for, I don't know, 3 days. And then they come back out and have a conversation about something else. Tortoises, just own it. Just go, I am a tortoise. Well done, a few of you. The rest of you, we're not convinced. Let me run through. The spring hair. Some of you, you get into an argument with someone, you're gone. They were there, another country. They just left. They just, whoop. Who your spring is? Yes, thank you. Yeah, exactly. Honey badgers. Honey badgers. These are the people who only have one form of defense, attack. These are the people, they will find you, they will get hold of you, and they will fight you. Yes, you know who your honey badgers. Snakes. You know the snakes. You like spit. Someone comes too close, you bite. But you've got words for days. Have you worked out who you are? There are a couple more. Turkeys. You ever seen a turkey? Have you seen how they're like, they puff up, they go like this. I am bigger than you think I am. I met a lady, she was about this big, but when she got angry, my living, she got about that big. It was just, she just puff up. Last one. The buffalo. I grew up in a game farm. You do not want to wound a buffalo. When you wound a buffalo, it'll go into a thick bush, and you'll follow it, and when it knows you're following in, it'll follow you round and come and kill you. Some of you are married to a buffalo. You have seen this because you saw the vein on her head go out here. And you knew that if she brought you coffee the next morning, you would not take it because it would kill you. You know. Some of you are not smiling at all. It's because when I started this conversation, you're a spring hare and you disappeared. We want connection so badly, but most of us are so broken that we can't hold on to it. And so we go animal. And actually, the beauty of the gospel is that it empowers us with a spirit of love so that we can learn how to stay connected to an animal. When a person's behaving badly, we can stay connected. This is what the Spirit of God gives us. Aren't you glad the kids' church are having a jaw? I was thinking about this the other day. Because I want to be honest with you. I sometimes do marriage counseling. And when I'm doing marriage counseling, I see people who I look at him or I look at her and I go, you're needing to grow because you're immature. And you're needing to heal because you're wounded. And the problem is, you're both trying, but your woundedness is not healed. And so you're trying to run with a broken leg, and you're too immature, so you keep behaving like a child. And so what happens is the person who's needing to mature, who's needing to actually do all the work, because this person's got a broken leg, what they do is they start doing the work, and then they look at this person, they go, why aren't you matching me? And this person can't. And I see this again and again in different marriage relationships. This person's wounded in this area, this person's immature in this area, and vice versa. And I started to realize the one day, some people literally don't have the tools or the love to get out of this. And so I thought to myself, we've got to equip our people because the gospel's big enough for this, but they don't know how to get it. Now let me read you a verse that stopped me in my tracks. This preach probably should be a seminar, but anyway, it's just going to be a preach today. So listen carefully. In Exodus 3:6, it says this. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. Can you imagine? Like, you're listening to that. You've been in slavery for 400 years, and someone comes to you and goes, God's coming. He's going to rescue you. You're going to be his people. He's going to judge the people who've been hurting you. You're coming out into the promised land. If that was you, you'd be going, woohoo, come on, baby. You know what the next verse says? So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. Moses speaks the good news, but they can't hear it. The word heed, it actually means intelligently understand. They cannot intelligently understand it because of anguish of spirit, which actually means shortness of spirit. I don't have enough spirit to get through this. And cruelness of bondage. You know what I realize? The reason we can't keep connection is because we have shortness of spirit and there's a cruelness of bondage. There's a, if you anti-psychology, sorry. There was an experiment done years ago in the 1970s by a woman, and her name was Mary Ainsworth. And she did what was called the strange experiment. And what she did is she got parents who were great parents or caregivers, great caregivers, to take their children into a room. And then the caregiver would leave, or a stranger would come in, and the caregiver would leave. And they would watch how the child responded. And then after a minute, 30 seconds, the stranger would leave, the caregiver would come back, soothe the child would get back into the move, and then the stranger would come in again, and they would leave. And they watched how thousands of kids responded to this experience. And then what they did is they took families that were broken. And they took insecure families, bad families, they took abusive families, and they conducted the same experiments again and again and again, thousands and thousands of kids. And here's what they found. They found there were four responses that were so predictable. They just kept happening again and again and again. The one type of child had a secure attachment to their parent. And so what would happen is, yes, they'd get anxious, but as soon as the parent came back in, they would relax, they'd start to play again. Secure attachments, basically in the States, is about 50-something percent of the population. In South Africa, maybe 20. There are not a lot of people I know who have very secure attachments. I can probably count on two hands the number of friends I have who have very secure attachments. Then what they found is they found that some parents who were there sometimes, some not there, sometimes like very hit and miss, they produced kids often who thought to themselves, the world is not trustworthy, but because when they were there, they loved their kid. I'm lovable, but the world's not trustworthy. I can't trust you. And they call those anxious attachments. Then there were the group of kids who felt like mom wasn't trustworthy and I'm not lovable. Because every time the caregiver came in or the dad came in, they felt like they weren't good enough. And they called them disordered. They were basically fighting to trust anybody or feel loved. And the fourth group of people, they felt like whenever the caregiver was there, they were very reliable, very responsible. But for some reason, the caregiver kept hitting and missing, and I feel like I'm not lovable. So I've got a little picture of that. And what I've found through life, and as I've done some counseling and stuff, is that so few people are in the green, and so many people are in the orange, and some people are in the red. They have a shortness of spirit and a burden of pain. And the good news about the gospel is that it comes hunting after you to bring healing to every part of your soul. And Jesus has the ability to heal every poor attachment you've ever had. But you've got to receive it. So today, I'm going to explain how the gospel gets in. If you have got a Bible, you might want to take out this text. It comes from John 21. Here's the solution to people with shortness of spirit who've lived in cruel bondage. It starts like this. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. Let's set the scene. Jesus has been crucified. His disciples have run. Peter, you know the story, he's denied Jesus 3 times. Cock-a-doodle-doo. He's had that moment. He has now seen Jesus 3 more times. He denied him 3 times. Jesus pitches up 3 times. This is the 3rd time. And Peter's interesting. Because Peter is like so many of us. He's got some sort of attachment issues. Charges like mad and then drops people. I mean, he's like you and me. Peter gives me hope. So Peter decides, dudes, we've seen Jesus 2 times just before this. I don't know what to do, so let's go fishing. Basically, let's go back to what we used to do. Let's go pretend the Jesus thing hasn't happened because we have no idea what to do now. Let's just go back fishing. So he goes fishing. Jesus comes along. Says, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. So he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? Now you'd think they'd be going, heard this one before. Nothing's happening. No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. To which now they're starting to go, When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to people, it is the Lord. Don't you love it that the disciple who Jesus loved is the one who's writing this? I love how needy John is. Needy John, that's what we're going to call him from now on. Needy John. I just want everyone in the world to know from now on that Jesus loved me more than Peter. That's what's going on. In fact, the chapter before, he goes, there was the tomb. We had a race. I won. Peter was following me. Like, he's just needy John. He just needs Jesus' constant attention. He says to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. This is like my boy. My boy would have jumped into the water so that I had to bring the rest. Anyway, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with the fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you've just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the 3rd time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he'd been raised from the dead. What's fascinating about this text? There are a few things. One is Jesus makes a meal. By him making a meal in Eastern culture, it was a statement of reconciliation. It was a statement of forgiveness. So from the beginning, the messaging is, I want to reconcile. What's really interesting is Peter jumps out the boat to get to Jesus. But when he gets there, he cannot connect with Jesus. See, some of you come to church to get to Jesus. But even whilst you're here, the anguish of spirit and the cruelness of your bondage stops you from connecting with Jesus. And so you come week after week and you can sense that something's happening and you can see that other people are connecting and you know this is good for you, but actually there is something in me that just can't connect with Jesus. And so I learn, I hear, I might even grow a little bit of faith, but I'm not connecting with. In fact, there are so many people in this room who struggle to connect. You're in marriage. And it feels like one of you just doesn't need the connection. It's not always the guy, by the way. Just 99.9. No. You know why you don't need the connection? Because you were taught that people are untrustworthy. But you're lovable. And so you avoid connection. And you call it healthy, but it's wacky. See, there are a whole bunch of people in here who are so needy of the connection that when you're in marriage, you feel needy and you feel like you're, give me more, give me more, give me more, just a little bit more. And it's never enough. There are some people who are in a relationship, you are one day needy and other day pushy. Shortness of spirit and cruelness of bondage. And Jesus is going after Peter, who's got a shortness of spirit and a cruelness of the shame bondage that's sitting over him because what he just did to Jesus is unforgivable. You know what Jesus does? He pursues him. He doesn't just like, hey, dude, don't worry about it. We're sorted. He pursues him. He comes to Peter, even though Peter can't connect. And then he comes to Peter again, even though Peter can't connect. And he comes to Peter the third time, and then now he's going, bro, I am going to make sure you connect. And he has this conversation with Peter, and he says this. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon, now remember, when they're eating fish. There's a coal fire. He's smelling the things. He's remembering. Like, Jesus is just setting him up. Jesus isn't mean like that. Jesus will set you up properly. In fact, some of you came to church today. You thought it was going to be happy. You thought, I'm not going to cry today. It's going to be beautiful. And Ross is going to make you cry. Jesus set you up. It is beautiful. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, his old name, just reminding you where you came from. Son of John, do you love me more than these? And he uses this word agape, God's kind of love. Do you agape me more than these fish, more than these people, more than this old life? And Peter responds, yes, Lord, he said, you know that I phileo you. He says, I love you, but not agape you. You know, Lord, that I respect you. You know, Lord, that I'm friends with you. You know, Lord, that I really like you. That's how he responds. And Jesus asks him again. He says, feed my lambs. And then he said, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? And Peter goes, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. This is huge. Imagine Harold came to me and he said, Ross, do you love me as a brother with all your heart? And I said, Bree, you know I like you. We're mates. Now Jesus comes the third time and he drops it right down and he says, Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? Now I'm coming to your space. I've heard you. And Simon Peter's hurt and he says, Lord, you know everything. You know what I did. You heard the cock-a-doodle-doo. You know how messed up I am. You know how I betrayed you, I denied you. You know that I've come fishing. You see it all. I'm a flipping mess. That's what he's saying. He says, you know I love you. I follow you. Because I can't say that I agape you because I just don't. I've proved that I don't. Some of you proved that you didn't last night. Some of you proved that you didn't last week, last year. He just goes, this is all I've got. And Jesus goes, feed my sheep. You know what he doesn't say? He doesn't say, you should have listened when I told you to watch and pray. Then you wouldn't have messed up. He doesn't say, Peter, you can do better than this. He says, even when you phileo me, I will agape you. Even when you turn from the calling I gave you and go fishing, I'll still provide for you. Even though you deny me, I will pursue you. Even though you abandon me, I will never leave or forsake you. I don't care if you have attachment issues from birth or shame issues from teen years or rejection issues as an adult. I'm coming for you with a love that surpasses the worst thing your mom did to you, your dad said to you, or your dumb stuff you did with a girlfriend. But you have to let me in. I'm coming after you. This is what Jesus does. He goes, I'm coming after you. I'm going to take that attachment issue that you have that's been shaping your whole life and making you feel like you're not loved, and I am going to never leave or forsake you. You don't get more secure than I'm stuck to you. You know what Jesus wants to do to you today? He doesn't just want a head knowledge. He wants a heart feeling with you. You see, he pours out his love by the Holy Spirit into our hearts so that we can know that we are sons and daughters of God. You know what he's doing? He's re-engineering your messed up attachments because you had messed up parents. And here's the newsflash. One day you're going to be a parent and you're going to realize how messed up you actually are. And you parents who are trying to be perfect, please. Your kids just aren't old enough, but don't worry. Jesus is coming after you. See, this isn't psychology. Psychology starts with, this is what you have to do to get yourself right. This is the gospel. This is what I'm going to do to bring healing to you. And all you have to do is receive it in faith. You know, I was thinking about, how come Joshua and Caleb, like 2 out of 1 million, that's 0.002% of the population, went into the promised land. Why? I'll tell you why. One oak was full of faith, Caleb. The Bible actually says he was of a different spirit. He was full of faith. The other oak was a presence guy. He was a John. He was needy. He would go into the temple and just spend hours and hours and hours. Moses would leave, he'd still be there. Where's Joshua? Probably in the temple, spending time with God. He's needy. Some of you are needy, and you think it's a problem. No, the direction of your neediness is a problem. You need to point it to Jesus. If you're pointed to Jesus, what you will start, I'm speaking like an Italian here, what you will start to feel happen is he will meet that neediness with, I will never leave or forsake you. Let me restore to you what was taken away from you. Let me show you how much I'm prepared to pay for you because I love you this much, so that you can start to rewire what you think about you. Let me show you how I can be with you so that even though they will probably mess up and probably do something stupid in your life, let me show you how you can still stay connected because my love will fill your heart to love them. This is the gospel. And this gospel is running after you. You know how this story ends? I'm going to wrap up with this. As Jesus says to Peter, he says, when you were young, before you were married, you used to dress yourself and determine where you would go. That was actually quite funny. Then you got married. She told you what to wear because you have no dress sense. He says, but when you're older, someone else will dress you and tell you where to go. And he says, he told him this so that he could show him what type of death Peter would handle. Now let me tell you what's going on here. If you will pursue Jesus and you will give yourself to him and you will receive his love, he will bless you with takeaway. I know you think that the gospel means he just adds and adds and adds. No, no. He will take away. And here's why he will take away. So that you will prioritize him over stuff. And if you will prioritize him over stuff, your life will make an impact. Because what you'll find you're doing is you're loving people despite the fact they're taking from you. Peter was hung upside down on a cross because he couldn't be hung the right way around, because he couldn't be like Jesus. He gave himself up for Jesus because connection to Jesus had become more important than connection to the good life. Now, friends, you see, this message is for everyone, not just people with issues. This message is for the most mature in the most secure relationship, because the most secure should be laying their lives down for others because of the love they've received from Jesus. And the least secure should be holding on for dear life to Jesus himself and not the stuff he gives you. Otherwise, you will die in the process. So as you go today, I'm going to pray for you and then you're going to go. Will you let this magnificent pursuing, bigger than your worst mistake, way vaster than your mom's dropped when she dropped you when you were a baby, bigger than all of that, will you let that love grab hold of you and pursue that with everything? Can we stand? If you haven't asked Jesus into your life, now, ask him in. You pray this: Jesus, take away my sin. I put it on the cross. Come into my life so that I can have that connection that heals hearts. And for the rest of us, Lord Jesus, we repent of taking your stuff and calling it connection. We want you. We want to see how you've pursued us, and we want to grab hold of it, and we want to be overwhelmed by your love for us. And like Simon, we want to give ourselves to you because of how you've loved us. So change us and heal us and restore our relationships and rebuild connection in our marriages and alter how we think. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you. Have a fantastic Sunday. Lovely being with you.